Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 413. Last week had a lot of excitement. We were happy to be back. This week, I'm just kind of really tired.
You forgot what work was actually like.
Well, working alone for, a week and a half now. It's just tiring. Exhausting, and these two are not helping.
Marley. Who, Dave and Pat?
No, Harry and Marley, and Marley has joined the podcast. She's sitting in the chair. We'll see if she contributes. I don't know. She didn't read anything.
Neither did you.
Yeah. Fair enough, Pat.
People in glass houses shouldn't be throwing hard things.
I'm not throwing anything. So, I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Spencer,
Marley, and Pat.
And Harry's here too, but he's not actually sitting in one of the red chairs, which is pretty funny. Especially because she won't sit there at all during the day, where it's like, just go to sleep in the chair. Nobody's going to bother you. No, she has to stay near me, and I step on her, or not step on, but nudge her, or step too close. But now she's just, I think she just likes being near people. She looks very happy. Oh, can almost hear you whining. Don't whine. Nobody wants to hear any whining.
As Colin goes into his rant.
Yeah.
No. News stuff. Last week I talked about some weird stuff Diamond's doing with their own distributors, and they've moved some books to digital only now to finish up Supergirl and Terrifics. And it seems like every Friday they drop some new twist on us, some new way of doing things that they're going to do. And this last Friday, which is funny because Friday afternoon, it's like, what a great time to drop a bomb. They announced that they're no longer going to be doing print previews. Everything is going to be a PDF on their website, and they've encouraged us to send people to their website, where they also promote a certain online seller at discounts. So I will not be sending people to that said website, but that was just odd. And then we got the new previews in today, and Marvel was late getting Marvel didn't do their own book. It's in the actual previews. And it's just interesting, because I'm like, not that long ago, DC was in the main previews book, and for some reason now they're not. And they're doing their own thing, and I'm like, okay, something's up between them having their own distributors now, and New Comic Day is Tuesday. Just all sorts of weird stuff going on with them.
And it's cats like, and dogs living together.
Well, it's like, it looks like there's a bigger plan, and they're not telling us what the big plan is. And somebody did ask them right up on their thing going, you're throwing all these little things at us. What's the big plan that you're not telling us? You know, you're doing all these little things, and clearly there's some goal that all this is going to.
Well, if they're not telling you, they're not going to tell you.
Right, but it's like, okay, but you know, we're still the ones ordering your product. No offense, I don't think Barnes & Noble is ordering that much of your product, you know, ahead of time and all this, but kind of, you know, we're your partners, as you've been telling us for years, and now you're kind of doing some weird stuff without telling us what the big picture is, so, which, you know, we have to assume then doesn't include us. So we don't know what's going on. So, lots of people are not so unhappy, just or more just what's, you know, if we need to figure out a way forward without DC print comics because they're only going digital or only going, you know, through certain people, so be it. But we need to be able to plan. The one big gripe that I agree with is that the whole entire industry is kind of reeling a little bit, kind of like walking, you know, standing on the deck of a ship trying to figure out where we are and get our balance again. And they're starting to play all these games, which would be confusing in best of times and worse even for stores that aren't open and things. So.
Well, and that's, we've said this before, most Marvel and DC are owned by giant conglomerates.
Yeah, I doubt this is DC wanting to do this. This is somebody else.
Right. And, you know, they both have lost billions of dollars this year. They're going to either, you know, cut where they can or try to make it up in other ways because they're both publicly traded companies and at some point got answers to shareholders.
Yeah, I get it, but it's just, I just don't see how cutting us out of the picture is going to make them more money.
it may not make them more money. It may prevent losses.
Just odd news. We're just coming back. That's all.
Good job, Harry. Or it's the opportune time to do it. You're already used to not getting product, but,
yeah, possibly. I don't know. I just wish, we're all kind of going, okay, what's Friday's announcement going to be? You know, what more can they zing us with?
Well, here's a question, though, for you as a retailer, since they're not in previews, are you going to be able to order their product?
I'll be able to order their product, assuming they'll be in the Diamond system. My bigger concern is you guys won't know what their product is.
Yeah.
So I'll be okay with Justice League and Batman and stuff, but, are you going to know about, the tie-ins and the new series and things like that? Because, no offense, I'm not going out of my way to advertise their stuff, and they have zero in-house publicity and marketing people. The fact goes back to when we complained about the price of their posters, and they said, well, that's almost our cost. Like, we're supposed to pay the cost of their promotion stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, you do not have a promotional budget.
Well, not only that, posters shouldn't cost $20 to print.
Well, it's those plastic ones that go in. I understand. But that was their answer, and it was just like, wait a minute. Why am I paying for your promotional material? Which was a little annoying because
Barnes comes out late.
Well, Barnes & Noble got... Yeah, that was the bigger thing, is that they're not even timely. Why would I pay for non-timely stuff? But for Batman Day, Barnes & Noble got this big wall, cardboard wall with a shadow of Batman for the people to have their pictures taken from. I'm like, wow, I wonder how much Barnes & Noble paid for those. Because, next week is Catwoman. We were supposed to order these Catwoman masks to give away. At our cost was 50 cents a piece. And I'm like, no offense, that cardboard mask with the little string is not 50 cents.
No.
Does not cost you 50 cents. I'm not paying, it just, and that, you want me to order them to give them away? That makes, I think, it was 25 for 12 bucks. And it was just like, that's the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard. That you guys are making a profit on these dumb masks. And, again, there was no way those cost them $12.
No, and they were probably printed up prior to all this madness.
So. Well, no, it definitely was. But, and then the same thing with Joker. And it's just like, you guys don't seem to understand. Because even when I remember when we got the rings, we got a bag of 50 rings for $8.
Mm-hmm.
That was cost. These 25 peeper masks for $12. It's like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm not a fan. Hi, buddy. So, anybody else have any news? I do have some questions.
Nice.
I did ask. I did. Okay. Zach asks, so more Marvel titles are going digital only, probably because this will be canceled soon. Is this good or bad in the long run for the printed single issues? I don't think it has any bearing going forward. I think it's just a case of right now coming out of being closed for 2 months and them, not having money. These didn't justify printing. In the big picture, they did. You can lose a little bit here while you're making here, but now they couldn't justify. I'm guessing the print runs weren't enough to make them enough money to justify it. They're all, kind of minor titles. I think the newest batch was like Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, Valkyrie, Scream. I don't remember what else. And then some like secondary issues, like the next issue of Ant-Man and things. So I don't think it's... I'm not thrilled with it, and I know the customers and the readers aren't going to be thrilled with it, but I do feel it's more a product of the situation than a product of the way things are going to be going forward. I don't really think they'll just start doing that on normal things, like, Empire won't make enough and they won't print the last two issues. I don't see that happening.
What do you think that'll do, though, for trade sales? Because normally you'd say, okay, some people... You have the people that want to read the end of the story, but they're like, I've already invested $12.
Right. I don't see them selling anymore. I still ordered one copy of Ant-Man, and I will reorder as it sells. I don't see that being a boom for that. Yeah, I don't know if it would really impact that at all.
They should at least, with those particular titles that they cut off the last two issues, go to like a $10 trade.
Right, that's the problem. Yeah. Not.
No, I know, but I mean, like, yeah, no, I agree.
I agree. Yep, yep. No, I agree. I agree.
I would buy the trade probably for the Hawkeye series, because I think the fourth issue, went digital only or something.
I think the fifth, the last fifth issue. One. Yeah, fifth, last, or fifth, maybe it was going fifth to six.
And six. Fifth
yeah.
and six. Fifth okay. and six, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Angry Johnny asks, what's the best thing that customers can do to help out our local comic book stores in the aftermath of all this?
Pick up your shit.
I'm thinking about buying gift cards for friends to help get people in the stores generate sales. That wouldn't be bad. The big thing is pick up what the stuff you have on hold. That because I always look at it as accounts receivable, and it would be great to have all that cleaned up and not be waiting on.
Well, it'd be great to have zero in accounts receivable and lots of cash.
Yes, that would be very nice. The good thing I've noticed over these last, 10 days that I've been open is a lot of people have been coming in and buying a lot, like not thinking twice about buying, four or five trades, because a lot of people have been working through all this. Like you, when you came in on what would have been Free Comic Book Day, and you're like, this is what I would have spent this past month anyway. You know? So there's been a lot of that, so that's been really good. Like half of the shipment next week was the reorder that I got in on Friday. And that was for the entire time, but it was just nice just ordering all that at once. I did another one of those Monday. That's why it took me so long.
I still haven't touched any of those books.
Yeah, of course not.
And then, this is the perfect time if there's, that big, ticket item that you've been wanting, statue or,
It really does help.
Or, a collection, you don't have anything else, you don't have a whole bunch of stuff coming in now. So, we have that little bit of extra cash spending on something that you've been wanting to, get for a while.
Yeah.
This is where economic stimulus needs to be spent.
Right, right.
Bezos don't need it.
Yeah.
Dude's a trillionaire. He's good. His ends are meeting pretty good.
Yeah.
James asks, what's your biggest concern and hope for the comic book industry as it reopens? Slow and steady wins the race. My concern, looking in the new previews, that, that's all this Empire stuff, and I just don't know if Empire's the right way to go. There just wasn't a lot of interest in it, a lot of demand. I'd just focus on the bigger books, good stories.
But that's somewhat, it's problematic for them to do that
because
they
the
already,
timing. Yeah, no, no,
they
I get it. I get
Empire
it.
Empire ready to go.
But I do appreciate the way Marvel is doing it, at least the way they thought it out, where, this week we got Spider-Man and Avengers and Marauders and Venom, we got some bigger books, and then next week is just trades, and then the next week is going to be more comics, and because of, some stores aren't open, there's lots of areas of the country that aren't open yet, so burying them in product is not great, but at least the stuff they're sending is the better stuff. We're not getting 8 Spider-Man family titles, we're not getting Miles Morales and Gwen and Mary Jane, we're just getting Spider-Man right now. The people that can come in only have to worry about getting that one Spider-Man book. My bills aren't huge, so I don't have to worry about how I'm going to pay them. That kind of helps everybody. But I do have product coming in for the people that can come in the stores that can be open, but also so that the stores that are just doing curbside actually have something that people are coming for. So I think that was a good plan by them. I'd like all the companies to just kind of review their lines. This is not a time, if you got something that's really not selling well, put it off.
Trim the fat.
Yeah, trim, take a closer look at what you are publishing. There's just a lot of companies putting out stuff that, I'll order one or, things like that. There was a big thing during this, it was a Facebook group where it was frustrating because it was organized by a store that didn't have to close. And it was a way to, they reached out to all these creators and they were doing a lot of ordering of, smaller press books so that these people can keep shipping their product and stuff. And I'm like, I'd look at it, I'm like, I'm not ordering any of this. This would be something I might order 2 copies of, but I'm closed. And there's no point in me going out of my way to get this. So there was a lot of that. So I don't mind those guys, they're passion projects, but understand stores are going to be a little tighter budget-wise. I'm not, when I did the order last week, there's a lot of stuff in the back of the book. Not so much comics, but like hardcovers and things that I'm like, no, there's no reason to have this on the shelf that nobody might be able to see.
Right.
I was a lot more selective in that. But yeah, just be, you know, smarter, and maybe this is a good time for, you know, like you said, you know, review your lines. You know, there's Valiant had a book I just couldn't figure out for the life of me, like a murder mystery with a new hero coming in, and I'm just looking at it going, who's this marketed to? You know, focus, you know, for Valiant, focus on your characters and that stuff. You know, doing some weird murder mystery just seemed like a really odd choice.
But again, if it was already in the planning phase.
Right, no, absolutely. And that was from previews that shipped before the shutdown. I totally get that. But I'd like to see them during the shutdown review. And, you know, finish up the stuff you have coming, but maybe going forward.
Yeah.
Clean it up a little, tighten it up.
Well, they didn't make any of that big Vin Diesel Bloodshot Dollar back.
No, they did not make that.
They had to figure out something.
Yeah.
Maybe this will be their new thing.
Sadly for them. But yeah, that I guess that's what I'd like. You know, I know there's some stores that aren't going to come out of this, so the market's going to be a little wonky. But yeah, just a little more thought instead of just throwing stuff at the wall to see what'll stick. Put a little more thought into how can we make this stick type of thing. That's it. That's all the questions.
Oh man.
So yeah, I read nary a book. I do apologize for that.
Nary a book.
So I got home Wednesday, I was tired. Thursday, I was doing the previews order. Friday and Saturday, I was doing stuff. Sunday, I literally read the last half of Ready Player One. And then Monday, I was doing computer work. And last night, I didn't get home until 10:30, and the thought of reading something, there was a thought. Oh, and then last night, there was a lot of discussion on the forums, about the DC previews thing. And so people asked DC some questions, and they gave some really snarky responses, and that kind of blew up on them. So, and then texting with other stores and what's going on. And so, yada, yada, yada. I just didn't get anything read. I have a large stack to read, but I need to be awake to do it.
You know, the thing is, none of you guys, retailers, can touch anybody at the level that would actually know what the hell's going on.
Right, right. And the other problem is being on the board of Comics Pro. You know, people are like, oh, you know, what are you guys going to do about this? Like, what do you think we can do?
Comics Pro is not going to roll up the Big Brother Warner Brothers.
Right, and have them, yeah, tell us. It's like, we're lucky they're still talking to us since they don't seem to think a whole lot of us. So, I don't know. But
they spent more on the last Harry Potter movie than you guys will bring them in 5 years. Yeah. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong.
Then leave us alone. Yeah.
Well,
don't mess with us. We've been working fine for all these years.
Hey, look.
Leave it be.
They're giving us
the Snyder Cut. Yeah, woo! The Snyder Cut. I'm like, why? I watched that movie once. I don't want to watch it again.
I totally disagree with you there. Director's cuts of movies, in most cases, are better versions.
Okay, it might be, but
Daredevil is actually a really good movie when you watch the director's cut. Batman vs. Superman is coherent when you watch it as the director's cut. I don't know that I'm clamoring for the Ayers cut of Suicide Squad, because
the guy from Fantastic Four said, yeah, no.
No, not gonna happen.
Well, yeah, I don't think Fox will put another dime into that movie. Well, if Fox doesn't exist, and Marvel, or Disney won't. That would be crazy, though.
What's crazy is I paid money to see it.
Here's what I'll say about that movie. It's actually not a horrible sci-fi movie. It's a horrible Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But if you just... It's just a movie, and you go in with no preconceived notions... It's watchable. It's not great.
And it was pretty good until, like, and it's weird, but it's pretty good until, like, they got their powers.
Yeah.
And, like, once they got their powers is when it kind of started going downhill.
And G.I. Joe was the same way. The Rise of Cobra. If you didn't call it G.I. Joe and just it was a generic, you know, popcorn action flick, not a horrible movie. But when you attach a title to it, now there's preconceived notions. You know, it's... You know what Dr. Doom is supposed to look like and what he's supposed to do. You know what Human Torch is supposed to be able to do. What the thing should look like. And when
he should have pants.
You know, I don't have a problem with the Winnie the Pooh thing, so that's cool. If I had my way, I'd never wear pants. Cops just don't have a sense of humor. But, you know, as soon as you put that name on there, and, you know, I no one hates a Star Wars movie like a Star Wars fan, but it's kind of that way genre-wide. Nerds, no one hates nerd stuff worse than nerds.
Yeah.
That's not what I wanted. And even when they get what they wanted, they're still mad.
Oh, yeah. So,
what you got, Dave? What'd you read?
I read a couple books.
Uncle Scrooge?
Oh, there hasn't been an Uncle Scrooge now. It's been a long time since Uncle Scrooge. But I read Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 10, which is the anti-penultimate issue.
Mm.
Wow.
Unfortunately, because the series has been great.
You like Superman too, Marlon.
In the issue previous to this, we learned that it's kind of wrapping up a lot of the major plot here of someone's out to kill Jimmy Olsen. And in issue 9, we find out Lex Luthor tells Jimmy that Jimmy's brother Julian is out to kill Jimmy. And in this issue 10, we find out that the reason is because Julian has spent all his trust fund money. He's spent all of his sister Janie's money, and Jimmy, he's not even aware that he has a trust fund, and this doesn't even know it exists. So Julian is trying to get that money, and it won't revert back to the Olsen family until something happens to Jimmy and he's out of the picture, so to speak. Then there's another storyline in here with a villain called the Porcadillo, who's half human, half armadillo, half porcupine, if that makes sense.
Mm-mm.
And he's joining the assassins of Metropolis, who are out to kill Jimmy also. So, by Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber, it's been a great series. I've really enjoyed it. It's just the perfect thing to read. Hilarious, crazy, you know, Silver Age book with a lot of modern flavor. Also read Red Sonja, number 15, by Mark Russell. pardon me. By Mark Russell and Bob Q, artist Bob Q. It's nice to read a Mark Russell book after like after 2 months of not.
Yeah. Where the hell's Billionaire Island?
It's coming.
Even if it's Red Sonja, you know, one of my favorite classic characters, but this issue is really good. This is picking up. It's continuing the story. The death of Sonja killed Dragon the Magnificent in the previous issues, and now her homeland is ravaged, and they're hungry. Her people are hungry, so she has to go to one of the neighboring lands, and there's a king, Jokan, who is trying to think about whether to accept a deal to become his master of war, lead his armies in exchange for he will provide food to her people in Hyrcania. But this King Jokan, he's a young would-be dictator who killed her mentor some years back. So she's trying to decide, you know, her needs versus her people's needs. And this king, you know, they have in this land, there's like a three-branch of the government with the civil servants and the council of generals. And he's murdered all the generals and gotten the civil servants in line. So it's
he does a great job of setting up this this moral dilemma for Ed Sonja, Mark Russell, and a lot of, you know, of political overtones, you know, for the current times in the story. One more. I read, been trying out these AWA titles. I read that.
Oh, okay. How were those? Yeah, I have them all at home. They're just on the coffee table.
Did you read
table.
The Resistance one?
Yeah, I read that one.
I got it, but I didn't read it.
I don't know
yet.
If you guys. But this, I read Year Zero.
I read that.
Yeah, I read that one too, yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was, or I thought it was a good setup for, you know, typical zombie fare, but. If you don't, and they spoil it on the cover, which is unfortunate of what it is, because on the truck or the RV it says like zombie killer or something like that. But when you read through the book until the very end,
yeah.
You don't know that that's what's going on. Right, it just seems like, you know, okay, you got a killer for hire in Japan, some, you know, poor orphan kid in Mexico, a guy that.
The Doomsday Prepper.
But you don't really even know he's a Doomsday Prepper until midway through the book.
Right.
Might even be like three quarters of the way through the book. You know, it just seems like, okay, you know, here's some weird loner type, you know, but you don't know that that's what he is. So it was like, okay. And then at the end, when, you know, he's got the. Well, first, when he locks himself in the bunker and the guy's like, you need to let me in. He's like, you're compromised. And then you see his bits. Like, okay, now you know what's going to happen.
Right.
And then the Humvee or, you know, the truck that he has.
Yeah.
But it's not really even a snowplow. It's more like a cow catcher almost.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like in the... who's the writer on the Benjamin Percy?
Yeah.
Because he says in the back, he wants to take like a macro look at like a plague, a zombie apocalypse or whatever. So it's a different way to do a book. It's interesting.
Well, yeah. They had the cool thing at the end where it showed like Da Vinci like studying zombies at the end.
Yeah.
So it's like this
the
isn't
Vitruvian
the first...
man was originally.
Yeah, and they pulled that the humanoid out of the ice in the first couple pages there. About a year before
things
start really going down.
Yeah, so I'll read it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll read another issue and see where it goes. It's
and I think it's like a
five issue miniseries. Which
I like the Resistance too. I won't talk much about that at all, but
that's good.
Straczynski, it was good.
And Mike Diodato did the art for that one too, didn't he?
Hey, Mike Diodato, right. You can't forget him for sure. Yeah, it was great. And that's all we got. Spencer.
Justice League 44. This like starts the second arc of that weird fill that they're doing with Vinlenny as the writer. But this opens up with, like, they're in, like, the South Pole or Antarctica, like, up around there, and, like, they're finding a lot of these weird, like, sea creature kind of almost, like, Lovecrafty kind of, like, inspired just, like, monsters, and, so everybody thinks it might have something to do, like, with Wonder Woman. You know, because she deals a lot with the magic stuff. But it turns out it has to deal with Aquaman and Atlantis and that stuff. I can't exactly remember how the issue ended, but the next issue came out this week, so... but it was pretty good. It is weird, like, it was weird before having this filler stuff, but now it's even really weird with having the break in between. And then the last one I'll talk about is, Plunge number 3, one of the newer, Joe Hill books. So the last issue ended with some of the crewmates finding the quote-unquote survivors of the shipwreck from, like,
like 40 years ago. They're weird. They have like these like their eyes are like blacked out. It's like they're kind of affected with the with these things, with this thing that you don't really know what it is. And then the ship that's like off on the, you know, the coast a little bit. It has problems with its engine. Something happened to like explode, so they're kind of stuck there. And a storm's coming in, and you know these surviving crew members tell them that like the thing that they're infected with, like just a small bottle could like could run Los Angeles for like the next like 200 years or something like that. Like that's how much like energy and just like what you could use it for. And then there's also this item that whenever you see it, it kind of drives you mad that you want, like you want to have it and you won't let anybody get in your way. And it ends up one of the crew members seeing him get into a fight, and he kills everybody else, or not everybody else, but the other people going that saw it, that were going for it. He kills them to get it, and he turns around and like you see him holding something, but like have like his eyes like hanging out of his socket because just from them fighting through it, and it doesn't seem like to faze him. But yeah, it's just another good suspenseful horror movie or horror book from Joe Hill. That's it.
That's it. Holy cow! This is gonna be a quick podcast. Yeah, Pat, you need to stretch.
It's gonna be tough because Dave already talked about half my books.
Oh no.
Unkillables.
Yeah, I read that too.
So this was the last issue, and I gotta be honest, I don't remember a lot of what happened
before.
Yeah, leading up to it because I didn't read them.
It was from the before times.
Yes, yeah, the before times. You know, long ago, but. You know, kind of typical zombie carnage. What was cool and kind of original, but, you know, I it's not because it's DC, but Mirror Master was able to, like, zap into the bus and pull kids out.
Yeah, he's pulling kids out left and right.
And then, you know, they eventually make it to Eden, which is... Poison Ivy has built a barrier that the zombies, they're not really zombies, they're the ones that were infected by the technovirus, the anti-life technovirus, they can't breach where she is.
And then because they have like a magic, because like a lot of, like Dr. Fate, Tana, Constantine was there, they was able to also like use magic.
Put up a magic barrier.
To help keep it out.
Yeah, but it, you know, in the end, a lot of the I think all the villains die.
Almost, yeah, because they on the way there they run into Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
and
Solomon Grundy and Cheetah and Creeper,
Deathstroke and Deadshot. But I think Deadshot died.
Bane got killed too.
Yeah,
I mean they all. Instead, all the villains pretty much got killed.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. You know, they made their last stand for humanity. So at the end, there's, you know, a statue of them as basically the heroes. And I love, like, Creeper and Solomon Grundy were, like, tag team partners.
Yeah. What was the...
The Tree Lobsters.
Yeah, Tree Lobsters. And did you notice in that bat... On that picture was the statue with Cheetah, because the girl that she saved in that last issue that she really liked, how she had the cat ears.
Yeah.
That she put the cat ears on the statue of Cheetah.
Mm-hmm. She called her Miss Kitty or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, Good Kitty.
Oh, yeah, Good Kitty. Kitty. And, you know, Cheetah looks is like, no one else is allowed to call me that.
Which I was kind of surprised. I thought, like, I understand how, like, how strong Wonder Woman is, and especially now not being, like, held with any of the, you know, because she's infected. But I thought, like, they would have been able to actually, like, defeat her.
I would have thought Solomon Grundy could at least hold his own.
Yeah.
Because Deadshot was already dead.
Yeah.
By that point.
And we also forgot to mention that Mary Marvel shows up.
Right, yeah, Mary Marvel was one of the bus.
One of the orphans.
And, you know, reveals herself, you know, says her word.
Yeah, because yeah, the bus that she's on goes, like, off the bridge or whatever. And I think, was she the one driving?
I think she might have been.
And, you know, it's a close-up on her face, and she's like, oh, and you think, and then she's actually saying Shazam, and then she literally grabs the bus. And then, too, like, I thought, like, she, because she didn't beat Wonder Woman, she just kind of, like, took her out.
She held her off, but that was good, too, because she's like, not only do I have the powers of Shazam, but I've been trained by Cassie Kane and Lady Shiva for the last 3 months, so I know what I'm doing.
And Deathstroke, and, like,
So that was all pretty good. Plus, you know, she wasn't caring about being a positive role model.
Yeah.
She was caring about, you know, getting rid of Wonder Woman. But she knew she wasn't going to hold her for long.
Yeah.
Was that Lady Shiva ripped her own heart out because
she got infected saving Cassidy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was. It's probably something I'll go back and reread and read the whole thing, because I really enjoyed the first two issues.
Yeah.
But it was like, what the hell is going on? And it took probably half the book for me to remember, oh, that's right. That's why they're doing this.
Yeah. And then they're having that digital first series, and then they're having the next main series, so.
Yeah.
Now let's just hope that they don't just run this into the ground, you know.
Right, I mean, it's a decent idea. I'd like to see, you know, what happens with, you know, the survivors, but at some point, it's, like, I don't want to see them find a reversal.
Yeah.
They should go full Walking Dead on it.
Yeah. Well, what's nice, too, is it seems to be that Tom Taylor's writing them all, so, like, once you start getting other people kind of thrown in there, I think is whenever that can get kind of tricky.
So, that's what I read, Colin.
That's it. Holy cow. And I read nothing. So
what's coming out next week?
There's stuff. It's a weird one. New way they do the reorders. Normally, when I did it, it would all be at the end of the invoice, kind of out of the way. But now it's all intermixed with all the other stuff. So
okay,
that's why,
In there, I was like...
Yeah, anything with a P already came in. I got it on Friday. So yeah, it's like you got to really look through to find the stuff. But we have Action Comics coming. Aquaman, which is weird because we got the variant this week, but we're getting regular issue next week. Batman, Superman, Birds of Prey, the one shot that was supposed to be a series and then turned into a mini series, turned into a single issue.
Hey, at least they're still putting it out.
True.
And go straight digital.
Boys, Dear Becky. Now I am very excited about this one. Yeah, I'm just very happy to be getting this. I love my boys. So, Buffy Every Generation is a big one-shot about the different Slayers over the years, and it's supposed to introduce a very important character. Dun, dun, dun. Catwoman 80th Anniversary with all the different covers is shipping next week. Comic Shop News. Some people have been asking when's Comic Shop News going to come back next week.
I wondered why you had highlighted that. I was like...
That's the only reason. Some people had asked, and we haven't had one the last 2 weeks, so that's why. Detective 1022, I know you guys have been enjoying that. Fun is G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe Real American Hero are next week. Constantine Hellblazer, I've been enjoying that one. Nailbiter Returns, just for Spencer. He was asking about that the other day. Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Death of Nancy Drew. So that's going to be fun and exciting. Dave.
Can't wait.
Sabrina Something Wicked, a second series of Sabrina, just for Dave.
About time.
Shazam is finally coming out, number 12 we're getting. And then the last one, we're getting another issue of Wonder Woman, even though we got one today.
Hey, this is not coming out the same day like Flash.
Correct. Yes. No Marvel comics next week. Like I said, Marvel is kind of alternating, so this week we got comics, next week we're getting some Marvel trades. Boom, 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 vice versa. So, that's what's going on. I promise to work harder to read more, and we'll talk more comics next week. We're all getting back into the swing of things.
Well, then too, like now, like we were saying, there's not like we have a huge variety of things to read from right now.
This week was a little better. Last week was really thin. So Dave, since you're here,
that's a podcast.
Okay, we will talk at you next week. See ya.